boy. Ears and whiskers, how late it's getting.
Good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio, on opening up this Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. with multiple performances is Alice in Wonderland, the second of two plays that are being presented as part of Stephen F. Austin State University's new Summer Stage Festival productions. These performances will take place in W.M. Turner Auditorium on the campus of Stephen F. Austin State University in Nacogdoches. And joining me this morning in our Knoll Foundation studios are Laura Reichert, an assistant professor of theater at Stephen F. Austin State University and the director for this production, along with Anna Drake, a junior in theater at SFA, who's going to be taking on the role of the Queen of Hearts and also performing many background functions in this play. Laura and Anna, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
So, Laura, what draws you to a story like this as a director?
Well, part of it is my background as a theater artist. I have an incredibly varied background, from doing intense realistic work with theater studio to doing a lot of physical theater, mask work, and high comedy in Europe, and in devised theater as well. And a story like Alice in Wonderland really lends itself to that kind of theater, which is my favorite kind of theater to do. And at this point in my career at SFA, I teach beginning, intermediate, and advanced acting, as well as the stage movement classes. Mm-hmm. So all the students auditioning for summer rep, I've been able to train. So to do this kind of theater, you need a common language and a common background in training. And it was the perfect timing to do this kind of show because I've had a lot of one-on-one work with the students that auditioned. So I've been able to really create a core company that can create a very physical, vibrant, energetic piece, which the story of Alice in Wonderland really lends itself to for theater.
So for non-theater people out there, what is devised theater? Kind of explain how you approach that and what it accomplishes for both the actor and the audience.
Okay. So the traditional idea of theater is you get a script, you learn your lines, you go into a room, a director tells you where to stand and where to go, and then you flesh that out in a rehearsal process. Devised theater has a different background in which sometimes you can come into the rehearsal room with no script at all, and it finds itself through inspiration and improvisation. We did have a script here, but what the script lent itself to do is to put it in a context. So why are all these actors performing this story on this day? And those are questions that you can ask in devised theater, and you can sort it out with the whole company of actors rather than the director saying, this is the way it's going to be. And what we've discovered, and the way we're presenting it, is all the actors are children, and they're all there for Alice's birthday party. And in the midst of celebrating this birthday, they end up telling the story of Alice in Wonderland.
So instead of a hard blueprint that you come to it with, this actually allows the theater company to kind of improvise a new kind of narrative around the core of the story in a way?
Exactly, and it allows you to be very visual with theater. You can almost be more minimal and be more physical with what the actors can do with their body. And, you know, none of the actors are going to be wearing animal makeup. Yeah. But there'll be costume pieces that give an idea of the character, but we see more of the Cheshire Cat in his physicality rather than painting on whiskers. Because what I love about theater is there's nothing that we can put on stage that is as powerful as what the audience will see in their imagination, but we can spawn what they see in their imagination. And with kids' theater, I think, especially for our audiences, because we get very young children coming to our shows, so having something that was very physical, vibrant, and moving and keeping the attention, especially of a generation of kids that have been raised on film and television and iPods and iPads and TV screens in the car, I think it was very important to do a piece that is vibrant and energetic and physical from the beginning all the way to the end. It's an hour and 10 minutes, but it is an exhausting hour and 10 minutes and tediously detailed as well.
So now we're talking about the visual part of this. Mm-hmm. A story like this has a great deal of fantastical images and scene changes as the book progresses. How do you accomplish that on stage without like drawing the curtains and changing the set and constantly going back and forth?
Well, part of what inspired me with this production was I grew up up in an area of South Carolina similar to Nacogdoches. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what was a wonderland for me there? And my sisters and I would often pack a red wagon of food for the day and go out into the woods. And we would find these broken down barns and abandoned houses. And we would just take objects and things that we found and play stories. And that's what I thought. I thought, how could I create that kind of rustic wonderland on stage to visually tell these stories? So we have this mix of a rustic playground meets grandma's attic. So there's slides, there's a china cabinet with teacups, there's old furniture, there's a mushroom wagon, which will serve as the caterpillar's mushroom. Mm-hmm. So instead of having to fly in pieces and push pieces on, the actors discover what can tell each scene or each vignette from this plethora of objects that are already there on stage.
So there's this unfolding throughout the entire play of the new objects, which allude to the new change of scene.
Exactly. So part of what's exciting is to see, for example, Anna plays the Queen of Hearts, and there's an old hoop skirt hanging on the wall. Mm-hmm. And she finds this hoop skirt and puts it on, and is, I'm the Queen of Hearts. So you actually, it's meta theater in that you get to actually see the actors coming up with the idea of how they're going to tell the story, as well as telling the story.
So is that the first time you've ever worn a hoop skirt in your life?
It actually is. in my costume fitting, when I put it on, I was like bouncing up and down because it's really fun. But yeah, it definitely helps to actually see it and actually put it on and feel what it feels like to discover for the first time what putting on a hoop skirt feels like.
And so that's sort of the predecessor to the poodle skirt and the skirts of the 1950s. Obviously, most of us, you know, born, you know, post 1930s have never seen a hoop skirt for real in our lives. So when you first came upon this, did you think, really, they wore this kind of stuff in the day?
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. And it's kind of fun, though. Like, I'm playing the Queen of Hearts, but my character playing the Queen of Hearts as a kid wouldn't see the hoop skirt and be like, oh, this is weird. They would see it and be like, I'm going to put that on and I'm going to play the Queen. It's not like as adults, we would see that and be like, oh, I would never wear that hoop skirt in real life. But for kids, it's dress up. It's playtime.
So how do you look at the role of the Queen of Hearts? I mean, in Lewis Carroll's book, of course, he was writing it for children, but as many authors of that time, there's an underlying adult kind of theme going on there as well. So for you, how do you approach this character to pull off both of those for the adult and the kids' audiences?
Well, for the kids, you know, they've seen the Disney version. Right. So I try to layer in, you know, what they know, the Queen of Hearts that they know. You know, the oof with their heads, like the like over the top. But for the adults, you know, it's finding a balance between making her this overbearing queen who, you know, like at the drop of a hat, she's going to cut somebody's head off versus making it too scary for kids, you know, because you gotta find that balance because the majority of our audience is going to be, you know, toddlers and kids and things like that. So.
And there's a lot been written about how Carroll kind of lampooned certain, you know, upper echelon of English society, even though he actually kind of belonged to some of that. He lampooned it a great deal in this book. So the comical element is what you're going to tap into to lampoon certain caricatures in our culture.
Yeah, I mean, in one way, I think Anna emphasizes that, which will be entertaining for the adults, but also enjoyable for the kids, is she's very poised, and then suddenly she'll just break out into a tantrum, kicking her feet and screaming, I want this, I want this, and then she goes straight back into this perfect queen stance. So in a way, it is making fun of these aristocrats who get whatever they want, and at the same time are children underneath.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you are also working behind the scenes on a lot of different aspects of this. What are you carrying forward on this?
I am acting as props master. So I get all the props together and bring them into rehearsal for the actors to start playing with and to bring into production.
Now, SFA has recently kind of revamped its summer stage theater production. Was the summer repertory theater, correct? Mm-hmm. What is this revamping entailing, and what can we tell the audience that will draw them in? Because I believe, wasn't it Charlotte's Web last year that was kind of like, I mean, you drew in the biggest audience ever, and maybe it just kind of pushed the idea that, hey, we've got something going here. Maybe if we tweak it a little bit, we can really keep this going.
Well, I directed Charlotte's Web, so I'd like to think that's true. Yeah. one aspect of Charlotte's Web that I think maybe we're carrying over into this revamping is we started the show with the actors as musicians playing kids' songs on stage, so giving it a festival atmosphere. And our artistic director of Summer Stage Festival and chair of our theater program, Professor Scott Shattuck, he has a great background in regional theater, and he brought in this year the idea of a green show, which is kind of a pre-show that's happening outside the theater. Right. So there's going to be ice cream sold for the kids and balloons and some pre-show. Two of our actors that are playing the frog and the cook in our show are going to come out before every show and sing songs with the kids and talk to them about the show. The idea of the Summer Stage Festival, taking it away from the Summer Repertory Theater, the Summer Repertory Theater idea for SFA is a great way for us to train the actors in a model for what working in summer repertory theater is. But a lot of summer repertory theaters around the country, they serve the community, as does ours. Mm-hmm. And we thought Summer Stage Festival and adding a green show and adding more elements that offer more to the community kind of elevates how these theater productions are a service to the community and trying to offer something to support and highlight and give people a cultural exciting experience in the summertime, as well as being a venue to train our students. And part of the revamping was to reach out to the community more and let them know that we are here for them as much as we need them to be there for us.
Now, you've done both on-stage acting, correct, and
yes,
behind the scenes. From a director's point of view, how does actually having been on stage and been directed by somebody else inform the way you now try to carry forward and impart your vision for this production to another set of actors?
Every actor works differently. I always say when I start beginning acting, I'm going to teach you all. It's just like learning to paint or be a visual artist. I'm going to teach you all how to draw lines and circles, but what kind of artist you ultimately become is up to you. You know, Picasso, Monet, Van Gogh, they all learned how to draw lines and circles and mix paint, but the kind of artists they became were very different.
The expression was so vastly different. Yeah,
actors are the same way. They all have a slightly different language. They all have a slightly different way they process direction. And having been on stage a lot and been behind the camera a lot as an actor and been teaching for quite a while, really understanding that you have to adapt your language and the way you speak to every actor all the time. If you get set as a director and speaking the same way consistently, expecting them to always take your direction just the way you say it, you're going to have some people that are lost. So you have to make that extra effort to see how their personal journey as an artist is working.
And there's very little that's linear thinking in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it lends itself so well to this idea of devising this particular script, because the main through line is Alice wants to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, all these philosophical, surreal things happen.
Right.
So it really lends itself to visually stimulating theater, physical theater. Our Hatter and Hare are just these incredible physical performers. And in one leap, they jump on the table and create this visually stunning scene that will be great for the kids, but they use the language of the scene as if they're speaking Shakespeare, which will be very appealing to the theater goer in the audience.
The theater goer.
The theater goer, who loves to hear their vowels used correctly.
There we go. So now, who else is going to be on stage? Because it's a fairly big cast it's called for.
It's a lovely cast. Well, your roommate?
Yeah, my roommate and best friend, Marley Graham, she's playing Alice.
Marley is doing an amazing job. It's so much on her plate in the physical comedy and also owning the innocence and the truthfulness of Alice. I'm just amazed at her every rehearsal. Brandon Hood is playing our Dormouse, our Humpty Dumpty, and our King.
Okay.
And it's great to see how versatile he is with each character. Cody Davids, who is also in To Kill a Mockingbird, is our Mad Hatter. Trenton Bennett is our Hare. He's also in To Kill a Mockingbird. Angel Williams, who's a freshman, is our cook and our knave. Keenan Chason is our White Rabbit, and he is giving it a Fred Astaire flair, which is great. Connor Clark and Brady Suggs. They are our Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Okay.
So they're having quite the summer together. Pedro Dominguez is our frog footman and our executioner. Josh Wallace, Atticus from To Kill a Mockingbird, is our caterpillar and our musical director. And I don't think this spoils anything. He is a fabulous musician. So he's playing all the music live on stage along with Pedro, who's a pianist.
Oh, wow.
And all the actors at some point jump in and play an instrument. So we've actually made his electric guitar his hookah pipe. It serves as both.
Okay.
So when the hookah pipe plays blue notes, he plays these incredible blues jazzy notes on it. Andrea Nelson is our Duchess. Jalen Clark is our Cheshire Cat. And it's just a wonderful ensemble. And it's a piece where I almost feel like I can't take credit as the director because everybody has contributed creatively so much. And with the higher goal of, how are we going to keep the kids entertained? Are the kids going to enjoy this? Will they get this reference? It's been the most creative rehearsal process I've ever been a part of.
Yeah. And Anna, have you had a chance to work with Laura before on past productions?
Yes. In class as well as on stage being directed by her.
Okay. What plays were you in with her?
She directed me in Dead Man's Cell Phone.
Okay.
And so I played the other woman in that show. And it was... two very different concepts, but working with her is a pleasure. It's a joy. I love working with Laura.
You know, going back to your directing question, I just thought of this when Anna was giving her resume. I typically cast her in roles that if I were auditioning professionally, I would get cast in.
Okay.
And that is where, as a director, when you are an actor and a director, you have to really stop yourself from saying, maybe you should make this choice. Maybe you should make this choice because you understand the character they're playing so well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I often have said that to her, like, don't let me give you choices that I would be doing if I were playing this part because I can so easily do that. So you have to recognize that as well when you are an actor / director.
In other words, help them find their own voice
exactly.
Rather than merely mimic or, you know, parrot your voice.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, do either of you have any final thoughts you want to share with folks?
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I mean, the actors are in the audience with the kids almost as much as they're on stage. They're on slides. Anna's throne is a swing.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you don't have to come and sit and be quiet. We want you to yell out. There's going to be balloons at one point. Just come on out and have a good time and enjoy theater, you know, and if you have a little baby, go ahead and bring it. If it cries, just step out and then come on back in. I think what I love about the kids' show is it brings such a relaxed, fun atmosphere. It almost throws theater back to the way it was in the Elizabethan time of, it's a social event.
Right, exactly. And it really allows the audience to kind of almost be participatory in the play, you know?
Exactly.
And with the concept we're going with, Laura is having all the actors that aren't in the scenes happening stay on stage. So we're going to be like sitting around the set, hanging from the scaffolding, which is, you know, part of the scenery. And we're going to be watching the show as the audience is watching the show. I worked as a summer camp counselor one summer, so I know that kids are spacey and they don't really pay attention to what's put in front of them. So if they're not paying attention to the action that's going on, they can look around the set and see us paying attention, which is going to make them want to pay attention, which is what I really love about this concept is that, you know, if you're watching the story and you look to your left, the person is going to be so invested and so like up in the story that it's so it engulfs you in everything that we're doing. So.
And one of my favorite parts of children's theater is after the show, there's always an opportunity for the kids to hang out with the actors, take pictures, meet them, see their costumes, that kind of stuff.
Watch their eyes open up and whole world of possibilities waiting for them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That was Laura Reichert, the Assistant Professor of Theater at Stephen F. Austin State University and director for this production of Alice in Wonderland, along with Anna Drake, a junior in theater at SFA who will take on the role of the Queen of Hearts in this production. They joined me in our Knoll Foundation studios this morning to talk about this production of Alice in Wonderland at Stephen F. Austin State University. It opens up this Thursday afternoon, July 3rd at 2 p.m. with multiple performances throughout July in the W.M. Turner Auditorium on the campus of Stephen F. Austin State University. You can contact them at 936-468-6407 for more information. That's 936-468-6407. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.
Am I ever going gonna get home. Can't imagine who could fit through there. Unless it was for a mouse.